Well, good morning. Good morning again. I've been told I say that twice, so I got to do it three times. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. It is good to be with you. I am excited to bring you the word this morning. I love seeing you guys being engaged. You know, I know, like I said already during worship, there's this idea that things are a little different than we want. Before this whole quarantine, I was not a big social media person myself. I had never taken a selfie video in my life before this quarantine. I just want to remind you that even if it's not your thing, make it your thing, right? There used to be a day when raising my hands in worship wasn't my thing. Now it's my thing, right? There used to be a day when sitting in the front of the church, that was not my thing. Well, now it's my thing. And so I just want to encourage you, if you say, you know what, this whole technology, that's not really my thing, make it your thing. You know, I love seeing my parents. I can say my parents, so now I'm not qualifying anybody else. I love seeing people that are older than me, older generation. They're getting the technology. They're just trying it. They're going for it. Amen. Make it your thing. I like I just said last week, I think a MacBook, it has not been my thing. It's still not my thing, but I'm trying to make it my thing. There's things in your life where, you know what, it might not feel like it's your thing, but make it your thing. And I just felt like I was meant to say that as I'm telling you guys to engage. Maybe you don't like all the little emojis or all the hearts going up on the side. You know what? Get over it. Just make it your thing. Engage. Just make it that you enjoy being involved in worship, involved in the message. You know, I'm being honest. It used to not be my thing when someone was sharing, with preaching, teaching. It was never my thing to say something out loud until I had to be the one that was up front teaching and preaching. I was like, oh, I like that. And so now that I like it, I do it for other people. So you know what? You might never be in front of people, and it might not be your thing to say amen out loud. It might not be your thing to comment on a social media comment thing. Like, that's not really my thing. You know what? Make it your thing. Just try it. Do it for your pastor's sake. It makes me feel good when there's people in the room, and they say amen. Yes, good word. Oh, I like that. That makes me feel good. When I go back later on today and I see hundreds of comments, I'm like, oh, people are paying attention. Oh, that's good. It encourages me. So I'm just doing this for your sake, for my sake. Comment. Be engaged. Be a part. You know, I say this almost every Sunday. I think I've been saying this. Don't forsake the assemblies of the saints, right? Don't stop going to church. Don't stop being the church. On Sunday morning, you're here, you're watching. Then be the church. You know, that's what I love about this church. We are a healthy church. Not because we have a good pastor, not because we have a great worship leader in Daniel, not because of the leadership of this church. We have a great church because there's a great body of believers, that you guys all are in this together, that we are all contributing, that it's not just leadership that's making this whole ship happen. No, that we are in ship shape, right? That the Lord is getting us prepared, but it's like all hands on deck, right? It's the whole crew that makes our ship healthy. And so that's what I love about our church. I texted that this morning when we first opened up our live stream. I love my church. And I love my church because it's not just hard work to be the pastor. I feel like I'm just part of the body, that we're all doing our part, and it makes it enjoyable. And so I'm saying all that to say thank you. Thank you for being involved. Thank you for being engaged. And I'm encouraging you, keep it up. Keep going on with the amens and preach it, Pastor. It's good. So I know we've already prayed tons. I interrupted worship. I prayed, but I got it. I'll make it quick. I'm going to pray again over myself, over the message that God anoints me and that we have ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. Amen. So let's pray one more time. Jesus, I thank you that your word is living, it's active. God, I thank you that your Spirit is alive in me. And I pray that the same Spirit that rose you, Jesus, from the dead, that you would bring resurrection life inside of me. That the words would not just be words that I read on a page. That you would come and there would be a communion together and a joy of reading your word, God. That it wouldn't just be me, that it would be all of us engaged online, God. That there would be a joy, there would be a communion with you, God. That there just would be life. Life would beget life today, Jesus. And so I pray that abundant life, that rivers of living water would gush forth from us, God. And so I pray that we would be wells ready to gush forth, but also to receive from you, God. And so I just thank you for the privilege and opportunity to give your word. I pray a blessing over it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 All right. So I'm going to ask a scary question. What did your pastor preach last Sunday? I say it's a scary question because often I forget when someone puts me on the spot. Pastor, what did you preach last Sunday? I have to think about it. But it was about our pathway forward. If you remember this, right? It's our path forward. What is our path forward? And there was 3 points. I told you that our path forward is going to be a 3-letter word. What was the 3-letter word? I hear some people in the room saying it. Come on, comment it. Hot. H-O-T, right? Humility is our way forward. Obedience and training. And I know that didn't sound like a fun message, but the idea is that we've got to learn how to humble ourselves, right? This idea, I was thinking about how our presidents, governors, mayors, everyone, your pastors of your churches, even if you don't attend this church, you might be joining us for a little bit. Everyone has their own idea of how to re-enter, right, back into out of this quarantine and re-enter whatever normal is, right, to re-enter our normal. And there's going to be some differences on people's opinions on how that looks. And I'm just encouraging you, have humility in all of this. Don't think that you know better than the president and your governor and your mayor and your pastor and you're this person. You know what? Just say, you know what? I don't necessarily 100% agree, but I choose to take the humble road. I choose to humble myself and say, I'm going to follow. I'm going to submit whatever leadership says. And so I get it. Trust me, I am a patriot through and through. That I'm related, whether some people might disagree or not, but my mom tells me I am, so I'm going to hold on to it. I'm related to Patrick Henry, and he's like my great, I don't know how many great uncles. And, you know, what did Patrick Henry say? There's another trivia question. You can put it in the comments. You know what? I should do this. I saw another pastor do this, that he said the first person to comment to my questions won like a gift certificate or something like that. I don't have anything on me. But man, I should do that. The first person to comment, I'm gonna go through the comments later. And if you're commenting, man, you should get a reward. So right now it's just a pat on the back. It's just an applause. What was Patrick Henry? What was his quote, right? Give me liberty or give me death, right? That just still kind of bleeds through my veins, right? This idea that I love my independence. As a pastor, I fought that our church is going to celebrate our nation's Independence Day. I love being independent. But with all that being said, I feel like the Lord is saying that our path forward is humility. Not just as a Christian, as a Christ follower. I'm saying this even as a nation. I'm saying as a people that humility is our way forward. We've got to learn how to humble ourselves, not fight for our rights and not fight for that. This isn't fair. I get it. We do have a constitution. We do have a Bill of Rights. Those are all true. But I would rather the Lord tell me what to do. I'd rather the Lord tell me this is the path here to take, Ryan. And if he's saying fight, okay, then I'll fight. If he's saying be humble and let go of your rights, okay, then I've got to listen to the Holy Spirit. I've got to follow his lead. And he's saying humility is the way forward. So that isn't not always fun for this patriot that loves his independence that I have to say, you know what? All right, I got to lay down my rights. So that was a freebie. That was nowhere in my notes or in my sermon, but I'm just giving that to you for free. Humility is the way forward, obedience and training, right? And so this idea, that's where we're headed. And with this idea, this our path forward, I didn't want us to forget our vision. Here's another question. Does anyone remember what the vision I cast back in January, way back in January, 3 to 4 months ago, right? It was this word launch, right? We're launching into the deep. And it was Luke 5:4. And it says that launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. I think we have a slide that probably will take over my face. But let me read to you what I put in our monthly. I wrote it in December, and this is what we said in January that, as a church. I said this. This year, the Lord is calling you and I to launch out into the deep and let down our nets for a catch. He's calling us to go places we have never been before. He is calling us to leave behind what is comfortable and safe. He is calling us to venture out deeper with him. He is calling us to let down our nets, let go of our old way of thinking, and trust him. It is my prayer that together, corporately and individually, we receive the Lord's calling. May this word grow within us and launch us into a new and glorious season where we trust and obey Jesus with greater abandon. I am excited to launch into 2020. Are you? So that was my vision statement for this year, long before I even knew there was going to be a coronavirus, before I knew there was going to be a quarantine. But I hope you see some correlations in that statement. The Lord was giving us vision. He's saying he's going to take us into deep waters where it's uncharted territory. Those of you, I don't think anyone alive has ever been really in a quarantine, that we've going through this weird season where the whole economy and everything is shut down and church. I mean, it's our first time to not be able to assemble, right? There's all kinds of things that are new territory. It's deep waters, uncharted territory. And the Lord is saying he's getting rid of our comfort zone. He's taking us to places we've never been before. And this is what the Lord kind of gave us a vision for. And it's not changed. This idea that when we get out of the quarantine, we're not supposed to go back to our old normal. There's supposed to be a new normal. And what is that new normal? I don't even know if I want to be normal, right? But there's this new way of doing things. And to me, this new normal should be this new revival. I'm believing the Lord is preparing us to be revived, to be full of life. That idea of hot, that we would be hot and on fire, not lukewarm. If we're honest, If I look back in the past, there is a lot of my life that has been lukewarm. And I'm saying, God, I don't want to go back to that lukewarm. I want to be ready to step into being a hot, on fire, passionate walk with you, Jesus. And so how do I get there? How do I get there now and sustain that for the future? And so there's this, all these words the Lord is just giving me, this idea of our vision, our path, and what does it look like? And so this morning, the title of this morning's message is Fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And where do I get that from? It comes from 2 Corinthians 13:14. And so there's this verse. This is the very, very last words that Paul writes to the Corinthian church. And if you read 1 and 2 Corinthians, I mean, this is a big letters that he wrote. Out of all of his epistles that he wrote, these are the meatier ones. And he wrote to the Corinthians. He loved the Corinthians, right? And this is the very, very last words. This is his benediction, is 2 Corinthians 13:14. It says this: May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And I love that for lots of reasons, right? There's the Trinity in there. There's the Son, the Father, the Holy Spirit. But I love that he says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. What is grace, right? If Sunday school trivia, you probably know what grace is. It's getting something you don't deserve, right? Mercy is not getting what you do deserve, right? Mercy is when I tell my kids, you know the rules. That when you do this, it results in a spank. But I'm going to show you mercy. Instead of giving you a spank, I'm going to not spank you, and I'm going to show mercy. But I better not see this happen again, right? So mercy is not getting what you deserve. Grace is unmerited favor. It's, you didn't do anything to deserve it, right? We sang that song, the love of God. It chases us down. It's this idea that we don't deserve it. I couldn't earn it, right? That's grace. It's unmerited. We can't earn it, but he just gives us something freely. Salvation is a free gift of God, right? Jesus did all the work. We just receive it. So that's grace, right? That's grace. The love of the Father, right? John talks about God is love, right? This agape love, this unconditional love. Again, that you can't earn it. But this idea, that third one, fellowship of the Holy Spirit, what is that? What is fellowship of the Holy Spirit? And there's some things, maybe you have some ideas in your mind, but I want to explore that. I don't think I'm going to give you the complete definition this morning, but I want to at least explore those waters. What does it mean, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit? And before I get there, I want to finish that thought. Grace is unmerited favor, right? We can't earn our salvation. That's just given to us, right? We receive it by faith. But favor, think about it. God's word says that Jesus, when he was here as a human, as a 12-year-old boy, it says that he grew in favor with God and man. So there is grace that we receive that is just, we can do nothing to deserve it. But there is favor with God that you actually can earn. So there's already a question mark in your head. There's favor that God gives based off of your behavior, based off of your hunger. If Jesus had to grow in favor, then you and I, we have the opportunity to grow in favor. And so I'm just throwing that out there. The love of God, I cannot do anything to earn any more love from God, right? He loved me before he even created me. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. He loves me no matter what. He loves me. But there is an ability to grow in my capacity to receive the love of God, right? Scripture talks about it several times, that our roots would go down deep into the soil of his marvelous love, that his love would be shed abroad in our hearts, that we would be able to fathom how deep, how wide, how long, how high his love really is, right? So there's this idea that his love, it doesn't change, but our capacity to receive more love, that can change. I can grow in my ability to receive more of God's love. I can grow in my ability to love like Christ. I can love other people the same way Christ loves. So there's this ideal ability to grow in it is what I'm trying to get at. So this idea of fellowship with the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you that when you were born again, the day you receive Christ as your Savior and he forgives you your sins, you are given the Holy Spirit. He is the seal of your salvation. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. But there's this idea that Paul is telling the Corinthians, I want you to grow in the grace of Jesus Christ. May it be with you all. May it grow. May the love of the Father grow. And may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, may it grow in you. And so this idea, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, yes, I have the Spirit of God that lives in me. We are the temples of the living God. These are all true statements. But this ability to fellowship with him is something that can grow. And that's what I want to explore this morning. And it's kind of both, right? We can grow in it individually, just alone, intimate with the Holy Spirit, Ryan and the Holy Spirit, and also communal, right? We can grow in our ability to fellowship in the Holy Spirit with one another. We're kind of exploring that. Even this morning in worship, you saw Nick, Jen, and I gave a word. None of that was planned. I'm not saying it was all perfect, but there's this exploring, this idea of that we don't even know everything, but the same Spirit that's in Nick is the same Spirit that's in Jen is the same Spirit that's in me, and he's saying something. And, well, I don't know, let's go try it and see if this connects. Let's see if these work together. And we're growing in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit together. And so even you online, you have the opportunity to not be distanced and distance yourself. You have the opportunity to engage and grow in fellowship, even though you're physically not in the room with me. We can still grow in fellowship in the Holy Spirit. And so I want to explore that. So what is fellowship, right? There's a Greek word in fellowship that explains it. If you have been growing up in the church like me, you know this word. It's koinonia, right? That's fellowship. There's this Greek word. Let me tell you the Strong's definition of the Greek word koinonia. It says this, fellowship. Sharing, unity, close association, partnership, participation, a communion, a fellowship, the brotherhood, contributory help. Maybe that's why I've been telling you all this morning, engage, contribute, say something, do something, say something out loud. You know what? I'm going to even say that again. Even if you're not someone who's texting, if you're in a living room all by yourself, you're in your office or wherever you're at, I'm telling you, engage. Say something out loud. You know what? I know I've told you a zillion times, I'm an introvert. Me standing up here, me being animated and me telling you all these things, that didn't come natural when I was born. That was me learning to engage, learning to say, okay, I'll obey you, Lord. I'll go do what you're telling me to do, even though I don't feel like doing it. I'll obey. And so I'm telling you, engage. Even if it seems weird to be alone at home, say something out loud. Say, amen, Pastor. I agree. And so I want you to do that. This idea of fellowship. Let me finish this definition. So we talked about its unity, partnership, all these things. Koinonia is a unity brought about by the Holy Spirit. In koinonia, the individual shares in common an intimate bond of the fellowship with the rest of the Christian society. Koinonia cements the believer to the Lord, Jesus, and to each other. I love that last line. Koinonia cements the believer to the Lord Jesus and to each other in community. So there's this idea, fellowship with the Holy Spirit is something that is needed. I'm telling you, our path forward, where the Lord wants to take us, this vision of launching out into the deep, we will not experience revival unless we get this, unless we understand what fellowship with the Holy Spirit really is. I'm telling you, we are not going to get there. We can pray for revival all till our knees are bloody, till we're a snotty mess. But if we don't understand fellowship with the Holy Spirit, we don't understand unity, just me and the Holy Spirit, and then also unity with the body of Christ, we're not getting there. I mean, read Acts, right? It says that they were in one accord, right? There was this, that's another Greek word, it wasn't in my notes. I think, correct me if I'm right. It's like homothedeon or something like that. It's this idea of being one, right? The unity, it's close to this idea of koinonia, fellowship. And it says they were in one accord. And because they had this one desire and they were waiting for the Holy Spirit and they were prayerful and they didn't stop fasting and praying and waiting together, being one together, that's when the Holy Spirit came upon. That's when revival happened. That's the day of Pentecost happened. And Pentecost is like 4 or 5 weeks from now. I'm saying, I want to be ready for the day of Pentecost. I want revival to hit on me, on this church, in you, in your family, in your workplace, in this city, in this nation. I want revival to happen, right? But it's not going to happen unless we get this fellowship with the Holy Spirit down. And so as I read Acts, I see that revival was an outcome of their unity. But also on the same side, when the Holy Spirit came and there was fellowship, there was koinonia, that's when there was actually more fellowship. It says after the day of Pentecost that they didn't stop coming together. They kept coming together, breaking bread, singing songs, going over the doctrine of the apostles. They kept coming together. Them, it wasn't just one day a week. They were coming together daily. They just couldn't get enough of church. It wasn't like, oh, I got to go to church again. It was like, I can't wait to get to church. And I think that's some of what's going on, right? I said this last Sunday, that sometimes absence makes the heart grow fonder. There's some of you that I see, man, you can't wait for church. That some of you, you've been texting me. I've been re-listening to this sermon all week long. I've been getting more out of it, squeezed as much I can get out of it. And I can't wait for the next Sunday sermon. To me, that's you're hungry. You are there. You're ripe for revival. You're ripe for the harvest for the Lord to pour out His Spirit on you. And so I'm excited. The rest of us, I'm putting myself there. I think the Lord has some more preparing to do in my heart. I want revival. It's in here. But I think there's some more preparing that God is tilling the ground. He's saying, Ryan, you've got to break up some more fallow ground. There's got to be some more passion. There's got to be some more sacrifice. There's got to be some more humility, right? There's this path forward, Ryan, that I got you to walk. You have to walk out. You're not ready for the end of this quarantine yet. And so I'm saying, God, get me there. Get me there. And if you didn't hear Sandy's Sunday school class, I had no idea what she was teaching on. She had no idea what I was teaching on. But there is definitely some oneness. That the same spirit that's in Sandy is the same spirit that's in me. That he's bringing the same word. And so I'm excited about that. Let me read to you this quote. Rick Renner, he says this. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit is the launching pad for a life of supernatural power and consistency. I love that. I love that for lots of reasons because it has the word launch in there, right? So let me say it again. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit is the launching pad for a life of supernatural power and consistency. I love that again for lots of reasons because it's talking about a launch pad and he's saying, if you want to launch, if that's the word that God's given you, you've got to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. But when you have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, what does it result in? It results in supernatural power, but I love that last word, consistency. See, I'm not wanting this quarantine to end and then we have this great revival for 1 week and then it fizzles out. No, I don't want a fizzling out. I want consistency. I want to grow from glory to glory. I want there to be I want there to be an outpouring of the Spirit where there is a breakthrough, right? We sang that this morning. You know, breakthrough. I want these things to happen, but I want consistency. I want it to continue. I want the things that I'm getting, as you heard me say, I pray for my kids all the time. Lord, the things that you're giving me, the gifts, the talents, the anointing, the spiritual gifts, the things, the sensitivity to your spirit, the things you've given me, I want that on my kids and I want them to outdo me in every way. This is not my notes either, but I was thinking about this. I don't even have all the verses for this because it was not in my notes. But Moses, when God appeared to Moses, it says that he appeared to Moses and that's where he gave the name Yahweh, right? I am that I am. He appeared to Moses in a way that had never been appeared to any other man before. It says that Abraham was a friend of God. And yet later on, Moses got more of who God was. He still had the same revelation that Abraham had. He knew who God was. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But now I'm Yahweh. Amen. Right? There's a building upon the previous generation. And after Moses, right, he was a forerunner. Man, he was all about presence, right? The presence of God. He was all about fellowship with the Holy Spirit. He was walking with the Spirit. He says, man, unless your presence goes with me, unless your spirit goes with me, I'm not going anywhere. And he would say, man, I wish that everyone had the same relationship I had with you. So he was kind of a forerunner, but there's things that even Moses, later on David, had worship that Moses never had. David had the same availability that Moses had, and he built upon it and had greater revelation. We're in the New Testament. We have a new covenant. We've got more things than David had. Man, the things that this church was booming and thriving in the 70s, man, I want to hold on to that. That's great. But the latter is supposed to be greater than the former. Always. Read the Old Testament, New Testament. It's always supposed to be greater. God's word, he says that Jesus even said to his disciples, you're going to do greater things than me. That blows my mind. I don't even know where to completely contain that and understand that, but I have to believe him. He said it. I mean, this is kind of scary territory. I have not thought about this until right now, this second. Jesus, as a human, knew who the Father was. The revelation that Jesus had as the Father, as a human, he's saying that you and I, we can have more revelation than he did 2,000 years ago. I don't even know if that's biblically correct or not. It's just something that dropped into my spirit. But it's true. If Jesus said it, you're going to do greater things. Where does that greater things come from? It didn't come from his human strength. It came from his fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And he's saying in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. And so he's saying, man, you can do even greater things than Jesus did on earth when you're walking in step with the Spirit, when you really get a hold of what it is to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. So what is this? This idea of fellowship with the Holy Spirit. A lot of this is fellowship with the Holy Spirit means that you've got to be led by the Spirit. I think I'm going to change. I have slides that might come up or verses that come up and I'll change order again. So I'm going to go to Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Romans 8:14 says this, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. And before I even talk about that for a second, I'll back up again. You've heard me say that Romans chapter 8, as your pastor, this is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I got lots of, you know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, one of my favorite verses. I got lots of favorites, right? But Romans chapter 8, if I'm ever in a season where I'm doing devotions and things are just kind of like, it's just, I want some leisure reading. Like, I just want to, like, enjoy where it's not hard work. I can just flip it over Romans 8. Because God has spoken so much to me throughout the last almost 40 years of my life, maybe 35 years of being a believer, of reading this chapter. I've read it, I don't know, thousands of times, that when I read it, there's some nostalgia, right? Like when you smell something that your mom used to make, baking, it's like, oh, I love that smell, and it brings back all these memories. For me, Romans chapter 8, I open it up, I'm like, oh, I love Romans chapter 8. Oh, it just feels so good to read it again. Like, I have a lot of it memorized, but just to read it again, oh, it feels good. And so this idea, I'm just telling, maybe that was a freebie, I don't know why I said all that, but Romans chapter 8, that's your homework. Read it. It's your pastor's favorite. Read it. It's good leisurely reading. It's good doctrine. It's good just encouraging you, building you up. But Romans chapter 8, verse 13, I love this because it says, those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. So for me, if the enemy comes against me and he tries to attack my character or attack my identity, this is where I say, wait a second, no. I know who I am because I've been led by the Spirit. I know His voice. He told me to do this, and I did it, and it confirmed that I'm listening to the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I am a child of God. That's who I am. When I'm starting to question my identity, I say, no, I know my Father's voice. And it goes the other way around, too. If I start questioning my identity, sometimes it's connected to my ability. When was the last time I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me? That's when the question marks start coming. If it's been days, weeks, months since the last time I felt the Holy Spirit talk to me, well, you better believe my identity is starting to erode. I don't know who I am anymore. So this idea, those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons, they're daughters of God. And I love the Passion Translation. Do I have it on my notes here? I think I have it for you guys. Let me find it in my notes. Mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. I love how it's worded there. Mature children. You want to learn how to grow up, not to be an infant, just doing the milk of the word. That's what I was talking about last week, right? There's this training, this idea. You want to train yourself. I want to be mature. I want to be a child of God, but I don't want to stay a child, right? What does 1 Corinthians 13 say? But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I want to be a man of God. How do I step fully into being a man, into being a woman of God? How do I be mature? It's by being led by the Spirit, by having impulses where the Holy Spirit says something and I obey. This word led in the Greek, it's a three-letter word in Greek, agio, ago. And it comes in context, this Greek word being led. In that context, the day and age 2,000 years ago, they would use that for farmers or people that owned cattle or goats. And what they would do is they would get a rope, they would tie it around their goat's neck, and they would get on the end of the rope and they would pull or tug the goat until the goat followed the owner, right? So this is the idea. A goat would be led by its owner with a rope around its neck and the owner would pull it and it would go. Sometimes it was stubborn and it would dig its feet in and say, I don't want to go that way. And the owner would have to tug and pull and eventually the owner would say, you know what? You don't want to go? I'll take the rope off. You don't have to go where I want to go. You want to stay there? Stay there. All right, I'll go to my other goat. I'll put the rope around there. You want to go? Oh, he's going with me. And once the goat begins to follow the owner, it just begins to be a gentle tug. It's not this force and this battle. The owner, as a goat, the goat sees something good. Oh, I want to munch on that. But the owner's still walking. And so the owner just says, no. Gives a gentle tug. Oh, okay. I'll go where you're going, owner. I won't eat that. See, that's what I want to be. I want to be led by the gentle impulses of the Holy Spirit. Because the truth is, I've said this before, right? That the Holy Spirit or God is a gentleman, right? He'll never make you do something you don't want to do. It's like kind of like a half-truth. That's somewhat true. Yes, you have a free will, and He will never overrule your will. If you don't want to go where He wants to go, eventually He says, okay, I'll take the rope. You don't want me to be the owner. You don't want me to be your owner? I'll take the rope off. You don't have to follow me. And this is kind of getting scary waters, but I'm one of those that I believe that, man, if you're not following Christ, You could say a prayer when you're 5 years old. Great. But if your life, you're not following Christ, you're not having fellowship with the Holy Spirit, at some point, who's the owner of your life? And I'm sorry, that prayer you said as a five-year-old, you're on dangerous grounds. I'll say it that way. And I've said this 1,000 times as your pastor. For me, if all you want is a ticket to heaven, you just want to know you're going to heaven, and once you have that ticket, you want to go live your own life, you got the wrong pastor. Go find another church. Because I'm not interested in that. I don't want a bunch of people, that's all they want. They just want salvation, and that's it. No, that's not what I want. I want to be led by the Spirit. Sometimes it's hard work to say, oh man, I really want to eat this flower. It looks so good as a goat, as a stupid sheep. This looks so attractive. And you keep tugging me somewhere else. And I don't want to do that, owner. I don't want to do that. But at some point, I have to say, I don't want to be a stupid sheep. I want to say, okay, owner, I'll go where you go. I trust that it's going to be better. That whatever you have is always better than what I see. Always. Right? We've been singing about the goodness of God. He is so much better than anything this earth has to offer. And as we learn this, as we learn the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, we begin to mature ourselves. We begin to say, oh, God's way is always better. Yeah, there's this initial tug and pull that doesn't feel good, but eventually as I obey, it's these gentle pulls. And sometimes it gets even harder. Sometimes I'm like, wait, was that you, Holy Spirit? It was so gentle, I don't even know. Like, Holy Spirit, just tell me, was it you? And sometimes, I'm just being honest with you, sometimes I don't know. And I'm telling you, that's actually more the sign of maturity than those who are just stubborn and never doing what the Lord wants. So think about this. I've heard people say this, and I think it's true. If you're having a hard time hearing the Lord, the Holy Spirit, speak into your life, what was the last thing you ever heard Him say to you? Because at some point, maybe you were that stubborn goat that you had the rope, and He kept tugging, He kept tugging, He kept tugging, and you weren't listening, you weren't obeying. You heard Him, but you didn't obey, and so He finally said, forget it, He dropped the rope. You're not going to come, then I'm not going to keep talking to you. So remember, what's the last thing He said? And then once you say, oh, He said do this. Micah, I think it was Micah 6:8. But what does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. If you want to know what the Lord is, you want a fresh word from God, then do what you already know to do. Sometimes we're so far off the path that He's on the path. He's waiting for us to get back to do justice, to do rightly, right? To love mercy, to walk humbly. And as soon as we humble ourselves, oh, we're back on the path. Oh, there you are. I'll pick up the rope. I'll give you some more words. I'll lead you again. So sometimes it's not just saying, well, I never hear God's voice. Well, maybe you should be a first time. Maybe there needs to be a time you go back to the last time you heard Him. All right, so where am I at? Being led by the Spirit, this word ago, a rope tied around your neck. Humility is definitely connected to this idea. Freedom, I was talking about that, right? Freedom comes. It sounds like you lose your freedom when you put a rope around your neck. Can I tell you, being led by the Spirit, there is so much more freedom. So much more freedom. There's so much more enjoyable. I was thinking about this. How many people in the church, outside of the church, I'm just saying people, long for the peace of God, long for the joy of the Lord, long to have love, right? The fruits of the Spirit. And so many times when I think about the fruit of the Spirit, I think about how I'm supposed to bear the fruit of the Spirit. I'm supposed to be loving. I'm supposed to be kind. I'm supposed to be gentle. I'm supposed to be patient. I'm supposed to be these things. And I'm not saying that's all wrong. But if you want the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, if you want it to abide in you, you want the Holy Spirit to produce fruit inside of you, not for other people, just for your own peace, then you've got to learn how to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You've got to learn how to crave oneness, spending time with Him. As you even heard worship this morning, this idea of just pausing, being slowing down, getting on your knees, going above and beyond what you used to do. I guess that's a good word right there. If you want revival, the old stuff's not going to work. You can't go back to the old. Right? He's going to pour new wine into new wineskins. So as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. So maybe say this. This is the idea of engaging, obeying. You don't have to comment this. I want you to say this out loud wherever you're at. Say, I am a child of God.
I am led by the Holy Spirit.
Sometimes we just have to say that, remind ourselves. That's who I am. I am led by the Holy Spirit. I'm not led by my emotions. I'm not led by, can I even say this? I'm not even led by doctrine. I know that's scary, dangerous grounds, but I get it. Doctrine is good, right? God's word is there to study, to show ourselves approved. But, okay, I don't know if this is for right now or not, but this is for me personally, and I'm just, maybe God's supposed to say it now. Maybe this is me just giving you personal information. But as I was preparing this week, the Lord was just reminding me that, I don't know, this analogy. I'll go back even further. The story, right, of Elijah, when he went to the widow, and she was collecting sticks, and he comes up to the widow and says, can you go get me something to eat and drink? And she's like, oh, my master, I'm collecting sticks to make a fire, to make a small little cake out of the last flour and the last oil I have for me and my son. And once we eat that, we're just going to die, because there was a famine in the land. And Elijah said, well, first, go get me something to drink and make that cake and feed me first. Wait, what? How arrogant of that man, right? But she humbled herself and she obeyed. And as she did that, what happened? What was the miracle? That oil and that flour never ran dry. She always had enough. See, that's something about God. He's always going to require more than you want to give. That's just who God is. When it comes to tithe and offering, when it comes to what you name it in your life, he's always going to ask for more than you want to give him. But as you give it to him, as you yield to him, as you submit to him, as you humble yourself and you give it to him, he's always going to give you more than you can contain. That's just who God is. But I was reminded of that story because the truth of that, the idea of the oil and the flour, and the Lord is just kind of, I was brainstorming with the Lord, and I was thinking about how sometimes his written word, I know I always say it's a living and it's active, but you know what? It's living and it's active when the Holy Spirit is on it, when there's fellowship with the Holy Spirit. He's the one that Jesus even said, right? It's better that I go, so the Holy Spirit, he's going to remind you. He's going to guide you into all truth. He's going to remind you of things I said. He's going to make it make sense. Things that are a mystery, he's going to unlock them. That things that, man, they were a mystery for thousands of years. Scripture in the Old Testament, it didn't make sense to the Pharisees, the Sadducees. Man, they had been studying their entire lives. They memorized the whole first five books of the Bible. They were clueless. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to guide you into all truth. He's going to make it make sense. So this idea that the written word without the Spirit is kind of like the flour. It's dry. And the Holy Spirit is the oil. And as you bring the oil and the flour together, and as you mix them together, amen, and as you bake them, that's when it becomes the cake. That's when it becomes, can I be cheesy, angel food cake, right? It becomes spiritual. It becomes this idea where it's manna. It's spiritual food. When the Holy Spirit and the written word come together, that's when it becomes living and active. That's when it becomes a rhema word. That's when it becomes nourishment for my soul. And I just felt like the Lord was saying, reminding me of how Jesus talked to Peter. And he came to Peter in, is it John 21? And he says, Peter, feed my sheep. Peter, feed my sheep. Peter, feed my sheep. And he's saying that they don't want just dry written words. They want you, Peter, to go spend time with the Spirit, to have the Holy Spirit come upon you. And as you read the word, that the oil and the flour, they come together and you knead them together and you bake them. And when you come before the people, you're presenting a baked product. And they're hungry for it. And it becomes life. That, oh man, that tastes good. I want more of that. I don't want to point the finger at somebody else. I'll put it this way. I've listened to my own sermons. And I've listened to other pastors. And sometimes it's dry. And I'm telling you it's dry because it's just the written word. It's just information. And I'm saying, I don't want any more dry bread. I want fresh bread for today, manna for today. And it comes from fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I don't want to live on yesterday's manna. It's moldy. There's worms that grow in that. It's not good to eat that stuff. I want fresh word. And the Lord is saying he wants that for your life, to come on Sunday mornings and to listen to one message on Sunday and wait a whole nother week. It's not enough. Amen. I know we've added more content with
devotions in the morning with Greg and lunch with a leader. Those are all great things. I want to keep adding more content for you, for us as a church body. But at some point, you've got to take ownership, responsibility for your fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And that's really the key what the Lord is saying this morning. He's saying, will you take responsibility for your fellowship with the Holy Spirit? Grace? Man, Jesus did all of this before you did anything, right? He worked it all out and he's offering it to you. The love of the Father says he loved you before he laid the foundations of the earth. Fellowship, when you accepted Christ, he extended the right hand of fellowship with you. The Holy Spirit is in you and he's longing for fellowship. But at some point, the onus is on us. How much, how intimate, how deep is our relationship with the Holy Spirit? The church is going to experience revival in direct proportion to our ability to be led by the Spirit. You and I, individually, we will experience revival coming out of this quarantine in direct proportion to our ability to be led by the Spirit. Your family, your prodigal sons, unsaved cousins, your family, your bloodline is going to experience revival in direct proportion to your ability to be led by the Spirit. It might seem a little harsh, but that's the word of the Lord to you this morning. Will you receive it? I want to be led by the Spirit so that my family is saved and on fire. Your workplace, where you work, your business, is going to experience revival in direct proportion to your ability to be led by the Spirit. Your neighbors, your next door neighbors, your neighborhood, this city of Arleta is going to experience revival in direct proportion to this church being led by the Spirit. You can read all the books there is on revival. It always begins with the one. It always begins with one. What if in this church, what if in your family, it wasn't the pastor? What if it was a child? What if it wasn't the one who's been in church for 50 years? What if it was someone new? What if it was you? What if you became so red hot, prepared for revival, that you became so contagious, way more contagious than this coronavirus ever has been or ever will be? What if revival became contagious? What if this church became contagious with revival? Because we're led by the Spirit of God. That we're willing to do things that might look strange, that might not take the path that everyone else has taken. But you know what? I don't care what everyone else is doing. I want to be led by the Spirit. So as Daniel and the worship team comes back up, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? I had tons more verses, a lot more notes to share. But I hope you hear my heart today. I want you to be Spirit-led, not for my sake. I guess, actually, I'll take that back. A little bit for my sake. Because I know that if one of you becomes so red-hot on fire for the Lord, it's going to affect me. If I'm your pastor and I see you red on hot fire, it's going to impact me. But more than that, I want it for your sake. I want you to experience the peace of God. I want you to have the love of God in you. And it only comes in being in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. What does that look like? I feel like I barely even scratched the surface this morning. So Holy Spirit, I guess that's what I'm saying is, that's my prayer this morning. Holy Spirit, teach me, show me, be my guide. What does it look like to be led by you? I don't want to take it from someone else's word. I want to know in my own life, this is what it looks like in my life. Because the reality is, the relationship that Pastor Nick has, Sandy, Jen, Pastor Ryan, they're all different than somebody else's relationship. There's a different uniqueness to it. There's the same spirit, but it looks different. It feels different. I want my own relationship with you, Holy Spirit. I don't want to copy somebody else. I don't want Saul's armor. I want to be like David. I want to go on what I know. I look like a fool. I'm just a kid. But I know the Spirit is on me. And I sense that the enemy, he's got nothing. That as Romans keeps going on in Romans chapter 8, if God is for me, who can be against me? As Romans 8 keeps going, that I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. I'm super victorious. I know who I am. In Romans 8, 28, that I know that God is working together all things for good. Because He loves me and He's called me and I know who I am. I'm a child of God. So no matter what goes wrong, no matter what goes sideways, I know it's going to be good. Because I'm standing with God, and not only am I standing with God, He's standing for me. Not only do I believe in God, I'm confident that God believes in me. There's a difference. Most of my life, I've just been walking in my belief in who God is. But as I walk in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, He begins to remind me that He believes in me. That He enjoys me. That He finds delight in me. Sometimes that's hard to receive, but it's the truth. It's the fellowship I need with the Spirit. That His truth wash away the lies of the enemy. That He actually enjoys me. That He dances over me. That I'm the apple of His eye. And I only know that as truth, as rock solid truth, when I'm in fellowship, when I hear His voice. It's one thing to hear my pastor say it. It's another thing to hear the Spirit of the living God telling me that. And God, that's my prayer, that everyone listening would hunger and thirst for Your words, God. For Your approval. For Your stamp of approval. That's my son. That's my daughter. They hear my voice and they listen to me. They're led by me. So Holy Spirit, we cry out, we're hungry. We want to be led by You. We surrender all. Holy Spirit, fall afresh on us. May we learn to be mature children of God, that we're led by every impulse, every gentle tug that You give us. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Would you continue with this service and enter into this last worship song? You know, that's been my heart as your pastor, is that church Sunday mornings is about worship, word, and ministry. Don't end with just worship and word. Don't hang up yet. Allow the Lord to minister. Allow You to minister to the Holy Spirit. Allow some ministry time right here at the end. Amen.